With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Okay, we can do that. We got to do a V, 6 and 10. Good Lord, I'm forgetting our features here. And then I'm going to probably do a let the cake bake. We don't do that a lot, but we will today, hopefully.
Well, we do it all the time, but I mean the you mean like the segment?
Yes, exactly.
The feature.
Exactly.
The feature, if you will.
The pre-produced feature that has made us the industry leader in pre-produced features.
By the way, don't tell Sterling this. Hope he's not listening.
What, you're having cake?
No.
By the way, who brought all the cupcakes for you today?
The fine folks in the back. I think it was the collective sales department.
There's a lot of stuff back there.
Yeah,
for you,
and
friend.
I've been eating all of it, and my tummy
That's
hurts.
Good.
Because I'm, you know why? Because I'm not used to eating this unhealthy, this much. It's been a borderline Nickapalooza the last 36 hours.
Well, you made a 3-day festival of your birthday, so you're enjoying it.
But yeah, but we'll get back on the wagon. So I feel like this is a good segue to either do a vitality read, or the fact that I inadvertently played two Windows spots in that commercial break because I was in the back getting cookies. So you can also tell people about Windows. So
I think I'll tell them about Vitality first because we are both very, very proud. What's the word? Not alums because we're still involved in the program, such as it were. But we're both using Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. And it's a great program because it lets you build the program around your, what's the word I'm looking for? Lifestyle, makeup? I mean, I'm not sure how to look at the whole thing.
Both.
Because it's right. It's got flexibility. It's not one size fits all. And I think that's a big, big part of it. It's why it works so well for Nick and I, because his is different than mine. And it works out so that's been a very, very good thing. They do a breakdown of your body, the nutrients, the minerals, the whole thing, and then they give you a plan that is tailored to you. And that is what makes it so special. And also, it's not like, okay, here's the plan. Give us your money. Now eat this, eat this, eat this, eat this. It doesn't work that way. They break down the supplements you take are catered to what you specifically need. Your eating plan is catered to your lifestyle. All those things make a huge difference in making the thing work for you. And I think that's absolutely one of the keys to the thing is its individuality and one of the reasons it's worked so well. Nick's lost about 24 pounds. I lost 28, and I don't think I've ever been in a weight loss program where I've said, boy, really looking forward to getting back to it because I took a little break. I did one stage, and now I'm taking a little break, and now I'm getting back to it again and looking forward to it to go forward. So hopefully you will get an opportunity to try it as well if you need to lose weight or you just want to get healthier. It's called Vitality. They're right off of Bardstown Road. They're also one in southern Indiana. And it's just the best program I've ever seen because it does more than just help you lose weight. It helps you, as they say, get well. It's a wellness program. And it is it's the I hate to say most unique because that's redundant. Unique means it's singular. So to say it's the most unique is redundant. But I say it for emphasis because it is a tremendously different program than any of the other ones I've ever tried. And that difference is what makes it better. So very, very pleased about that. And I think you would be, too, if you try it. So, all right, we are going to do a 6-10, bring you up to date on baseball. So let's take a look at that as we go to the scores of the day. And we'll take a look at the wild card races, especially in the National League, which is truly wild. Bad news for our Mets, but they're hanging in. So we'll go from there as we take a look at The 6 and 10 coming up right now on the V Show on ESPN 680 1057.
Six divisions.
Swung on! This ball! Gone!
Six pennant races.
As Weeks rifles one deep center field.
There's always day baseball.
Can you believe that?
We'll give you 6 and 10.
Email we will, but I think we will write, that's the wrong email. I sound Nick Valvano, but that's the wrong one, buddy. That's the one we wanted. We started the National League East, where the Mets are fighting for their lives, unfortunately taking on a Braves team who's given them all sorts of problems. They had gotten within a half game of the division lead, lost the season, the series finale to the Nationals, and now they're taking on the team that is leading. The Nationals aren't the division leaders. They're the wild card leaders, rather. The Braves are the division leaders. They go to Atlanta. They lose game one. They have things going their way in game two. Steven Matz is pitching brilliantly, and unfortunately, our boy Mickey Callaway decided to manage.
Yeah, the 1-2 from the southpaw. That's a line shot through the left side and a base hit. Rounding third, heading for the plate is Joyce. Here's the throw from Altair. Here's the slide. Here's the tag. And he's safe. Matt Joyce with a head first slide right across the dish. And it's 6-2 Braves on the RBI single from Ozzie.
Calling WCNN, Ozzie Albies with the big hit there. The Mets had Steven Matz pitching brilliantly. He just retired 14 in a row. They took a 2-1 lead in the top half of the inning on a J.D. Davis two-run hit. And so he went to the bullpen. In his defense, he's really gotten a lot of great mileage out of Seth Lugo, who's been fantastic. But he came in and couldn't get anybody out, minor detail. And 5 runs later, they went from leading 2-1 to trailing 6-2, and the Mets would lose it by the score of 6-4. In the Central, not only is St. Louis fighting for a division, but they are also fighting for the wild card, so this affects our Mets. Here's the call on KMOX as the Cardinals taking care of business against the Royals.
Stamont with the pitch, a swing, and there's a long one. Left field, this is a goner and then some. That goes into the water spectacular. A home run by Paul DeJong, his 20th of the year, 6-0 Cardinals.
Yeah, there's the water. You've seen it on TV. They're on the road in Kansas City, and you can hear a lot of Cardinal fans there make the trek across the state, go to Kansas City, and they win it by that 6-0 count. So bad news, Mets lose, Cardinals win. The team that doesn't seem to have to do any scoreboard watching because they are absolutely rolling, the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're not taking any scoreboard watching at all. It kind of takes the fun out of it, kind of like the Yankees to a degree. But don't get me wrong. You certainly, if you're rooting for the team, you like that. But the Dodgers have been sailing along. Will Smith has been tremendous for them, the Louisville product. He's gotten off to a spectacular start. But on this day, it wasn't him necessarily that would have the big hit. It was a guy named Max Muncy.
And the 1-1. And Muncy rips it into right field. That's a base hit. Coming in to score is Rios. Rounding third and heading to the plate is Negron. Into third is Peterson. Two more runs score on a double by Muncy. It is 9-0.
That ball was crushed.
Dodgers would win it by the 9-1 score. Let's go to the American League real quick. Tampa Bay lost in the spectacular year the Yankees are having, are 20-plus games over 500, and they had a good run going, but not so much on this day. They got off to a good start, however, against the Padres.
He swings and belts one deep to left, down the line to the corner, off the facing of the Western Metal Supply Company. A two-run homer for Tommy Pham, a rocket shot, and right away the Rays lead 2-0.
That would be the highlight of the day, though. The Padres would come roaring back, and then some. Padres win it 7-2. In the Central Division, that's the two best races just for the division championship are in both Central Divisions, National League Central and the American League Central. On TIBN, the Twins against the Brewers, and Minnesota had a big hit here, but as you'll hear, things would turn.
And the pitch. Swung on and lined into left center field. That'll drop, and that's a base hit. Kepler will score. Scope will score. Gibson is hustling to third. He'll stand in safely there. The dam finally breaks for the Minnesota Twins with the bases loaded. It's a two-run, two-out single for Jorge Polanco, and the Twins lead it 5-2.
Yeah, but it turned sour for them also. Minnesota would go on to lose that game 6-5, the wrong team again for the Mets because the Brewers won, and that's there in the wild card race as well. It was a bad day all around for the Metropolitans. Meanwhile, in the West, the Oakland A's, the last team in that American League wild card race, they had a good night against their crosstown rivals, the San Francisco Giants.
Now, here's the 0-1, and Matt drives one to left center field. Way back, and no doubt, and Chapman has his second home run this afternoon. Swung on, gone. Halfway up the seats in left center. 8-5 in favor of the A's.
They win it 9-5. Ken Korak with the call, and so that makes the scenario this. First of all, the division races. None that close in the American League except the Central, where Minnesota has a measly half-game lead over Cleveland. That is close. The American League East, Yankees by 10. West, Houston by 9.5. National League, Atlanta leads Washington by 6. That's getting a little closer, although the Mets doing nothing to help Washington in that division race. They've lost 2 straight to the Braves. In the Central, St. Louis and the Cubs are dead tied. Well, actually, technically, St. Louis is 1/1000th of a percentage point ahead. 63-55, Chicago's 64-56, but a virtual tie, and St. Louis and Chicago in that division. Very close. Milwaukee just a game and a half behind them. And in the West, the Dodgers have the laughingest lead of all. They are 19.5 games clear of Arizona. But the wild card in the National League especially is where things get interesting. Washington would be the first wild card team. They have a game lead on the Cubs. And then after that, it bunches up. Milwaukee's just a game and a half back. Phillies 2 back. The Mets were a half a game out of the wild card. They've now dropped to 3 out since they've lost 3 games in a row. Arizona's 3.5 out. The Giants are 4.5 out. It is a cluster there of National League teams. And if you want to put the Reds in on the outside, trying to work their way in, they're 7.5 out. So if you include the Reds in that mix, you got 8 teams vying for 2 spots. National League, it's really down to 3 teams, unless you believe the Red Sox still have time to put something together. Cleveland is a game and a half clear of Tampa Bay. And then Oakland is 2 back in the wild card. And then the Red Sox are 7.5 back in the wild card race in the American League. So there you go, 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes. We gave you all 6 divisions. You are all set up there. You heard us earlier, and we were so excited about Universal Windows Direct, we played back-to-back commercials for them. That's how strong we feel about it. Why do we feel that strongly? A, it's the best window out there, the best warranty. As long as you own your home 30 years to the next homeowner, they do a tremendous demonstration to show you how energy efficient these homes are, and they are. They take a blowtorch, put it on one side of the window, you put your hand on the window on the other side, can't feel it. I mean, it's super spacer technology. It's aerospace-based, and it is better than traditional metal spacers that other windows use. Those break down. Those are conductors of heat and cold, so the energy literally goes out the window. You don't want to be in that situation. You won't be with Universal Windows Direct. Right now, they have a deal. You buy one, you get one free, no limit, free installation, and you can get the windows now and not make any payments until 2020. So you get the best warranty, the best windows, a great, attractive deal, no installation free, buy one, get one, don't pay until next year. What are you waiting for? Give your home, that house, that new home glow, and do like I do and sing I Love My Windows by checking them out at Universal Windows Direct. Get them. Well, I was stuck for a minute there. Get them in your home for a free home estimate and find out what all the fuss is about the great windows. Ladies and gentlemen, celebrating it, let's throw it right to Oswald for Oswald, the excited drummer for Universal Windows Direct.
My house has a new glow.
It's Bob Valvano. Right now, for every window you buy, you get the next one free, no limits, and 0% financing for 36 months. Call 502-487-5200 or go to UniversalWindowsDirect.com.
Get ready.
Like me, you'll be saying,
wait.
I love
wait
my
now.
Windows.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect.
Oh, he was rocking there.
Windows Direct.
Yeah. Bright Spring presents the 2019 UPS Plane Pole. Pull in for a purpose. Benefiting Special Olympics Kentucky. You're invited to join a team to compete pulling a Boeing 757 or be a spectator on September 21st at UPS Worldport. Enjoy food, music, giveaways, and stop by the College and Career Fair to learn about UPS's opportunities where future you graduates debt-free. For more information, text JOIN THE TEAM to 33588 or to apply now, visit upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Hey, it's Andy Sweeney. Join me and James Strebel today after Bobby V for The Take. It's 3 to 6, and it's right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. The NCAA is on Louisville's campus, and how and why are the Cards still using Chuck Smert? We'll find out. Rick Bozich will join us at 5 o'clock from WDRB. Plus, Yahoo Sports mentions a Kentucky basketball assistant, and Romeo Langford's in the news again. It's all coming up on The Take later today, 3 to 6, right here on ESPN Louisville.
The year's best diamond buying opportunity is right now. For a limited time, Genesis Diamonds is doing something unheard of. They've cut 5 diamonds. Now through August 25th only, all GIA certified diamonds have been marked down an extra 20%. 20% below Genesis already guaranteed best price on all GIA certified diamonds. It's Genesis Diamonds spectacular GIA diamond extravaganza. Your chance to buy a GIA certified diamond the same way jewelry store owners buy theirs. In fact, don't be surprised to see other jewelry store owners and even diamond wholesalers shop alongside you at this event. But it's for a very limited time, and you need to shop now for the best selection. All diamond shapes are included. Rounds, ovals, princess cuts, cushion cuts, pear shape, even fancy yellow diamonds. From a half carat to 10 carats, from $1,500 to $500,000. For a limited time, get Genesis Diamonds guaranteed best price minus another 20% on all GIA diamonds. Don't miss this chance to get access to diamond prices rarely offered to the general public. Now through the 25th only. And only at Genesis Diamonds, Shelbyville Road Plaza.
Bob Valvano is now right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Very nice. And look who's decided to drop in. We haven't seen him in months, but we're getting close to the start of the season. Our good friend, the Italian place kicker for the Atlanta Falcons, Giorgio Tavecchio, joins us
Giorgio.
And comes in studio. Nice to have you with us here tonight. Giorgio, as most people know, doesn't really understand the rules of the game.
The game is very confusing. It does not make a lot of sense. The game is a silly game. If you do not, soccer is a simple. You kick it in the goal, you kick the ball in the goal, you get a point. In this game, there's all sorts of ways to get a points, and the rules, they don't make a sense. I spend all the summer, I study, they make no sense. Well, what do you mean, Giorgio? Well, I mean, they have a thing that you cannot, the guy who throw the ball, he take the ball from the fat guy hike it to him, and then he throw the ball, you cannot hit that guy. You hit it that guy, and they say, that is a no good. They say, do not do that. That is a roughing that guy. Roughing the guy who throws it.
You mean roughing the passer?
Yeah, that's the one. Roughing the passing guy. You cannot do that. So you cannot hit the guy who's throwing the ball. Then the guy who stands behind the fat guy, he stands way behind the fat guy. He does not want to get too close to him. And the fat guy throws it back to him, and then that guy catch it, and he kick it. He kick it the ball, not like I kick it the ball. He catch it and then he kick it the ball. And that guy, if you hit him, they say that is a no good too. That is a no good. You cannot kick it that. You cannot hit that guy because he kick it the ball. They say that is roughing the guy who kick it the ball.
Roughing the kicker.
Yeah, that is what he, roughing the guy, the kicking guy. Okay, so you cannot hit the guy who throw the ball. You cannot hit the guy who catch the ball from the fat guy and then he kick it. But me, I go out there, they put the ball on the ground, I run up and kick it. There is a no penalty for hitting me. I do not understand this. This is the only game. It is a call to football. And yet, the guy who uses a foot, you can beat him up. But the other guys, they do not use their feet. You cannot touch them. In a practice. That the guy who throw the ball, did you know he wear a different jersey than the other ones? He no even wear the same jersey. He say, I'm not wearing that one. I put a red one on. You know what it mean? Touch me, I will smack you. You do not touch me.
you wear red, doesn't a bull want to hit
no,
you?
No, no touching that man. But I play a football. I am playing a game. It is called the football. I kick the ball, and they cannot touch the guy who throw the ball. They cannot. You try and throw a pass to a guy. He's getting ready to catch it. You hit him. Oh, that's a no good. It is interfering. You're interfering with that the guy trying to catch the ball. But I am kicking the ball. I'm the only one who is kicking a game, a ball called a football, and you can do anything that you want to me. But wait a minute, Giorgio, the punter, you can't hit him either. He's kicking it. No, no. He is catching it at first. They throw it to him, and he catches the ball. So if you throw the ball or you catch the ball, no touching of those guys. You try and throw it to the guys who are the very wide receivables. You cannot hit them. That is no good. The guy who is the passing guy who stands behind the fat guy, and then he throw it, and that's no good. The guy who is staying way back, and then he catch it first, then he tried to kick it. You cannot touch him. But Giorgio, you can bury him. This make no sense. It is a football. I play with the foot, and you can do anything that you want to me. But if you are catch, it is not called the catch a ball. It is not called the catch a ball. It is not called the throw a ball. It is called a football. And yet, there's no one looking out for the guy who is doing the game with his feet. This makes no sense. I also don't understand the scoring thing. I thought I was finally getting the hang of it, and then
what's confusing?
Well, you get a 6 points for when you touch it down, when you touch it a ball down.
Right.
You get the 3 points for what I do when Coach Quinino say, go out there, Giorgio, and kick the ball. And I kick the ball, and then everyone comes over and beats me on my helmet. Oh, what a headache. Mamma mia, I get such a headache. The bigger guys, the fatter guys like to smack you in the head. And I say, stop smacking a Giorgio. I score the points. Why are you hitting Giorgio? Again, you can always hit me. You try and do that to the guy who throw the ball or catch the ball, they would yell. Those striped guys would throw handkerchiefs at you. Me, even my own teammates, smack me in the head. And I get the 3 points for when I go kick the ball. Then sometimes when I kick the ball, I only get 1 point. I don't completely know why the difference is. I think I should get 3 for that too. But they say, no, Giorgio, this one you only get 1. And I go do that one too. So those, I understand those a little. But then this two-point thing. This two-point thing I do not get. They say it is a safety. I say, what do they give it to? A guy who plays a very safe, he covers the ball with both hands. They say, oh, that's a very good. We give you 2 points. They say, no, that's not it, Giorgio. You have to get a safety. Your team gets a safety. The defense gets a safety. So my team. I forget who they are again. The Braves. That's the baseball team. The Falcones. The Falcones. And I say, wait a second. We have two safeties. We have two safeties. So why are we not getting 4 points? We go out there, and it's 2 points for a safety, and we have two safeties. Why are we not getting 4 points? And they are different. There are two different safeties. One is one must be a safety that just got out of prison or something, because he is called the free safety. They're all excited because he is free now. And then the other guy, I think he likes to lift weights and stuff because they call him a strong safety. To me, they both look pretty strong. They all look pretty strong. But no, that guy, you have to call him the stronger safety because he likes to lift the weights and to take those supplementinos. So that's what him would do. But the other guy, he had just get out of jail, and they say, oh, let's celebrate. Aponcho is a free safety now. Good for you, Aponcho. You are a free. You are a free safety. This is such a good news. And so, Giorgio, I say, oh, this is a good. Now we have a two. We should have a four. We have two of them. We have two of safeties. Why we no get 4 points? And they say, no, Giorgio, no points for the safeties. And I say, mamma mia, you just tell me. Safeties are 2 points. We have two of them. We got the guy from jail and the weightlifting guy, and we get no points. This doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. I do not understand how would they come up with the silly rules for this game. So I'm going to go back and learn some more and wait for Coach Quinino to tell me to run out and kick the ball. I am also working on that sideways kicker thing they tell me. I do not understand this either. They usually say, Giorgio, run up as fast as you can and kick the ball. And I say, oh, Giorgio, like to do that. And then they say, no, this time, Giorgio, don't kick it. Just to push it to the side, and then all of the fat guys will run into each other, and hopefully one of our guys will get the ball. And I say, why can't I just kick the ball? And they say, because this is called a sideways kick.
It's not called a sideways kick, Giorgio. It's an onside kick. Yeah, that is the one. An on sideways kick. That's what they say. To do an on a sideways kick. So the first time I do it, the Dano would tell me to do it easy. So I run up and I kick the ball in the seats. I just blasted that sucker. It to go flying over the bench. Everyone yell at Giorgio, what do you do? I say, I do it on a sideways kick. And you tell me to kick it sideways. They said, that no, you have to do it very easy. So the next time I run up, I just kick it and it only go about 2 feet. And I stand there and look at it, and then everyone will jump on me. And I go, why is there not a roughing thing for me again? Why are you allowed to always beat up a Giorgio? Because I am not a throwing the ball. I am not a catching the ball. So even though it is a football, you can beat a Giorgio up. This makes no sense. I've had enough. I am leaving. Thank you. Grazie. Grazie. Bye, Giorgio. We didn't really get a lot of questions in. He just kind of went on a tirade there. It's very confusing to him. He's trying to learn the game, and he just doesn't understand it. It's a very confusing game. But he understands the one thing when they tell him to kickity ball. So that's good.
He does that well.
No, he likes to do that. He's very good. Giorgio, we wish him the best. I'm going to take him in our fantasy league. So there you go. All right, from the ridiculous to the sad, I guess. Evidently, DeMarcus Cousins has torn another ACL.
Yeah. That's what they.
So the Lakers are not going to be looking at him playing anytime soon. That's really obviously very disappointing for him, disappointing for the Lakers. The Lakers seem to be in a semi, except they have LeBron, so they'll never be that bad. But they're in a bit of a Nick funk here, where everything they do makes them look silly now. They try and hire a coach. They try and woo Tyronn Lue. He says, no, thank you. He says, I'd rather be the assistant coach. I'd rather be the assistant coach in the same building, in the same city. I'd rather be their assistant than your head coach. Wow. That's the noise of the slap in the face, which I actually did, by the way.
That was quality got commitment.
Now they
sound.
Make a commitment to Cousins. And again, these are things that, you know, that happens. Injuries happen. But when you've got that snake bit thing going, they look a little snake bit right now. So, all right, we're going to take a short time out, and then we're going to come back. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to Giorgio for dropping in. He's got a little beautiful little a Fiat out there. Very nice. Yeah. So it's not surprising he would drop.
Meet me.
Oh, that was there nice. He gave us a little honk. As
all right.
Away.
We're taking off and coming back. It's ESPN 680-1057.
Andy Sweeney, and you're listening to ESPN 680-1057.
Time now for an ESPN Louisville Sports Center update.
Good afternoon. I'm Jack Grossman, and the Sports Center update is brought to you by Class Act Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's for your money. Sources telling WDRB that the NCAA has resumed its investigation into UofL for the recruitment of Brian Bowen. The NCAA conducted interviews of former UofL assistant coach Kenny Johnson, aspiring agent Christian Dawkins, and an unnamed local businessman yesterday. Yahoo's Bad 40 joined Andy Sweeney in studio on the take yesterday and discussed whether or not he thinks Louisville will receive a postseason ban due to their involvement in the FBI scandal.
I would say 2021. I think there's a very good chance that Louisville is not allowed to play in the NCAA tournament. Now, you know, we will see how things progress, but I just don't think, given the past, all right, let's not forget strippers and hookers in the dorm paid by the assistant coach. That's a big deal, and that already got him out of one postseason, right?
You can hear everything 40 had to say on the take yesterday at ESPNLouisville.com, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Yahoo Sports reported last night that in a court filing, attorney Michael Avenatti alleged widespread payouts to high school basketball stars by Nike EYBL executives. Yahoo's Dan Wetzel joined the V-Show just an hour ago and wondered what comes next.
This could peter out, or it could be a lot. What other emails does he have? What other text messages does he have? What other proof does he have? What other people, where is it going? So that's, I don't think that, you know, yesterday's story clearly shows that pretty much everything they accused and convicted Adidas representatives of doing,
yep,
the Jim Gatto and Merle Code, they were doing at Nike.
Yeah.
And we always knew that.
More V-Show is next. This is SportsCenter.
Diener's morning show doesn't start till 7 because we thought he needed the beauty sleep. It hasn't worked yet. On ESPN 680, 105.7 and 93.9 The Ville.
You're listening to The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You know what I was struck by the other day? I meant to bring this up on the show. Maybe I'm missing something. We got some other sound we're going to play, by the way. Are you doing Let the Cake Bake or did you bag that?
Oh, I'm down.
Well, you've got to come up with topics for it. You have topics.
No, it's just one big one there on the bottom.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I don't understand this. The guy that was, unless I didn't really read the story. Let me just tell you that. Because it's more of a general observation. The idea of stealing signs in baseball, I've never understood what's wrong with that. Isn't that part of the game? I mean, if I could figure out what the hell your third base coach is trying to convey to your players, good for me. If it was not part of trying to decrypt it so that you encrypt it so you wouldn't know what I was saying, I would stand there with a big placard up and just hold it to the batter and it would say bunt and be, you know, tell everybody, hey, I'm going to put a sign now. Everybody close your eyes for 5 seconds. I mean, the whole idea is behind all that gesturing and things is that you're keeping it secretive from the opponent. So I didn't, unless he's claiming that like they had parents in center field or something. I don't know what the, did you see the story? It was the Rhode Island and New Hampshire Little League. And whichever one won, the other one accused them of stealing signs. I don't know who it was. If it was Rhode Island or New Hampshire, I don't remember. But the fact of the matter is, what is wrong with that? People make a big deal about that. Like I said, now it's different if like the Spygate, like if they were installing cameras in there without the team knowing, you know, that's a different thing. That's subterfuge, definitely. But I remember when I was in college, I started my first game and then didn't play for a long stretch. And while I was on the bench, I'll never forget, we played this team from North Carolina. And by halftime, I'd figured out all the signals for their offense in the first half. And I told the coach at halftime. And then that's one of the reasons why when I was a junior, he made me an assistant coach. I played soccer and then I started coaching. But I thought, isn't that a good thing? I was doing what you're, I was paying attention from the bench. And I noticed every time they made this signal, they ran that option. And then this went that. And all of a sudden we had all their plays for the second half, which makes it a hell of a lot easier to defend. What's wrong? I don't understand what's wrong with it. So the only thing I'm wondering is he indicating that they did it some way, like would they have a little miniature camera embedded in the turf or something? I didn't understand. So, but what am I missing there that the people make a big deal about that stealing signs? The coach for New Hampshire claimed that the Goffstown manager alleges that the Rhode Island opponent, their behavior was unsportsmanlike, dishonorable, and disgusting. And it says stealing signs at any level of baseball is a largely frowned upon practice. No, it's not. That was a thing that you always did. The players that became managers when they were in the dugout, that's the first thing they was doing. That's all baseball's ever been about. You try and find a tip if a pitcher holds his glove. Johnny Bench used to talk about that at length. You study guys, and it's amazing what they'll pick up. If he keeps his glove here, it's a breaking ball. If he keeps it here, it's a fastball. If he keeps it here, it's a curve. Here, it's a slider. The way he puts the ball behind his back, all these things are, that's part of the game. It's a good part of the game. It's a healthy part of the game. It's analytical part of the game. So what the hell are they talking about? I don't understand it. How has it been a frowned part of the game? It's a cheap way to gain an edge over an opponent. No, it's not. If that's the case, then, like I said, all right, everybody, cover your ears. All right, then yell the batter. But, okay, very good now. Now we're going again. I mean, that doesn't make a lick of sense.
I don't know. It's just, it was always just frowned upon as Bush. So, kind of.
I don't have a problem with this at all. Dutton said, you can see the runners on second base leaning in, looking in, and doing hand gestures to their kid at the plate, indicating what kind of pitch it is.
Oh, yeah. No, you were supposed to. Yeah, look in. Everyone
exactly.
Does that. You have your hands out. You know, if your hands are open,
the
that
Yankees
means it's an off speed. Your hands are closed. It's fastball.
My brother picked it up. I mean, we were watching a Yankee game. I was like 8. I was amazed. He said, oh, Bobby Richardson's stealing the catcher's signs. I said, what do you mean? He said, watch. When it's going to be a curveball, he crosses his legs when he takes his lead. In other words, he crosses one leg over the other. And when it's not, he shuffle steps for his lead.
Oh, okay. That's smart.
So the batter knows. It's in a very, you know, it's a simple way to let the batter know. And that's why if you saw the play the other day in the major leagues, the closer, Kenley Jansen, that game, he deliberately balked the guy to third. It was a meaningless run. They were up two. Guy was on second. They were two out. And he deliberately balked him to third. So he didn't want him on second base looking in, possibly tipping the catcher. Good strategy. Part of the game. Part of the game. Good for him. Good for the guy in second. Good for Jansen. I thought, you know what? That is really good. So, I mean, it's you can do that in big league ball, but in little league, it's unsportsmanlike. It's dishonorable. It's disgusting. You're teaching kids how to play. Honest to God, I mean, there are things that are dislike. You teach a guy to slide in spikes high or something. Or listen, Tommy, when little Jumbo gets the ball behind the plate, you run him. But, coach, he weighs 190 pounds. I weigh 70. I don't care. Let it trip to Williamsport on the line. You drill him. I mean, no. I mean,
disgusting's a little much. Disgusting's a little much. I mean, it's just, it's always been like that thing that's like not, you know, illegal, but. Like right, it's kind of just, it's just chippy, chippy. That's the word.
I have a hard time with this because
I'm fine with it, but I'm just saying like I get maybe first off he's pissed off he lost. That's I mean that optically that always looks bad, but I think it's also just the idea that I mean this is you don't see in the majors them high fiving guys when they hit home runs as they go around the bases too. It's supposed to be the atmosphere of, you know, we competition, you know, this is fun and all that jazz, you know, shake hands, and this isn't an illegal
thing.
If you look at
NBA coaches now, the way they convey the plays to the court is, and the colleges too, because for a long time I was wondering Don Nelson before he lost his mind and became a Grateful Dead pothead, he would hold his jacket up over the side of his mouth as he yelled the play to the court because the guys on the other bench were reading his lips.
Right.
Now you see the catchers do that, and the pitchers, they all talk right. In their gloves.
It's a great Sports Center commercial.
Part of the game. I mean, it's part of the game. You always tell guys on the bench, really pay attention. We're supposed to tell them, really pay attention, but don't look at that. You know, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I understand somebody says, why don't the batters look at the catcher? Well, because while you're looking at the catcher, the pitcher will throw a fastball in your ear hole. So that's part of the reason. There are some, I get it, there are some things that are over the line. That would be one of them. Like the spygate in football. You put a camera in the other team's practice facility, that's over the line.
What about the guys, was it Wrigley or Fenway or whatever? Like in one of the old school scoreboards. Yeah. Did they have a guy out there?
That's over the line.
They were tipping
but
pitches or
telling
something?
Pitchers, telling – you know what? It's not that hard to code
was
it.
Was that with you,
even
Garth?
For little kids, if you really think it's that important. I mean, and that's how you learn to play. That's why if he's saying, okay, well, even if he doesn't recognize whether it's going to be a fastball or curveball or something, if he's setting up outside, the guy on second is showing him where he's setting up, well, then that's part of the game too. Then set up outside, and then just as the pitcher's about to release the ball, move over. I mean, I remember when I was 10, it's not impossible to do. You could slide over a foot and give a different target. So that's bizarre to me. It really is. A guy says, I play in the Kentuckiana Men's Baseball League, and we look for those little signs all the time. Every sport, that's part of the game. It's a good part of the game. Like I said, as somebody who went from playing a lot to not playing at all, you say, how do I stay involved in the game? Well, here's a way you can do it. It's different. Like, the other team calls timeout. I leave the bench and run over to the huddle and try and stick my head in. That's over the line. The batter's standing here staring at the catcher, over the line. But if the third base coaches and you say, hey, I figure out their indicator. Their indicator's this, and then, you know, this is the steal sign. Great. Not a problem. The guy on second can, you know, figure out the sequence of signs from the catcher. Good for him. I mean, you know, it's not that difficult to do. The to change it up and give multiple signs, even for a little league, they would understand that. Now, what he said is this. Dutton said he first noticed it when Goffstown and Barrington played in the semifinals, a game that Goffstown won. Okay, so his team won the first game, I think. Is that right? His team won the first game. But he says he didn't say anything then. So now he said, you know, he said, according to the coach, Barrington, that's the team that won, stole a sign on the next pitch, leaving the home plate umpire to issue warnings to the offending player and the team's manager. According to Little League rules, however, both the player and manager should have been immediately ejected from the game. Okay, well, if that's how Little League feels about it, then I understand his gripe that, you know, that you're stealing signs and we're not going to allow it. I'm not completely sure I understand and agree with that. Meanwhile, they got parents who have lost their minds over youth sports, paying thousands of dollars, flying around the country, but, you know, trying to tip off to help the hitter a little bit.
Because that's not going to happen. In the next level, where your kid is definitely going
to
be playing.
Rather than play the rest of the game under protest, Dutton decided not to pursue it. Instead, just decided to tell the whole world that the other guy's a scumbag. That was a much more diplomatic way.
It optically, that looks so bad.
It's frustrating to see teams and kids having to go about it that way when clearly they were playing better than we were. They didn't have to do that. That's something these kids don't learn on their own. That's something they're taught. They're coached to do that.
Well, yes.
Yes, they are, because that's part of baseball. Yes, that's what they should be taught.
Former intern Lemoncello texted me. I remember stealing signs from the other team without my coach telling me to when I was like 10. I mean, you can. It is kind of one of those things that I actually wasn't taught to do it by a coach, now that I think about it.
It's hard to teach. I mean,
it was my friend who, you remember, my boy Hutch. Well, we were like in middle school or whatever.
He was a serious baseball player.
His dad was a serious baseball player. Coached us, like, you know, in youth, and he didn't teach us that, like, during our youth time there. But, you know, Hutch was like, "Yo, man, you know, you got that lead. You know, tell me what's going on. Like, you know, look at my hands." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So he did the hand, and Jamie did the arm. Jamie's thing was, you know, like, you know, your arm would swing down or whatever depending on what pitch it was. I mean, everyone's got a different, you know, system.
It's part of the game. I absolutely disagree with. I don't know why they made a big deal about it. The guy just said, times definitely have changed. Our Little League coaches promoted sign stealing. Well, within reason. Like I said, not if you're standing there looking at the catcher or, hey, no, Mr. Johnson, will you sit in center field with binoculars?
Cheating.
Right. I'd love to have Johnny Bench on the show. He talked at length. It was a great part of the interview. He talked about how he would study, and it was amazing how the subtle difference in where a pitcher kept his mitt.
Right.
They didn't realize they were doing it.
Yeah, and Crean was back here talking about it. I said, when I was talking about the whole sign stealing in center field, he said, no, that was Fenway. I was like, didn't that happen with at Wrigley when the Cubs lit up Yu Darvish? He was like, no, Yu Darvish was just tipping his pitches.
That's what I mean. It's very, very. There used to be a guy, I forget who it was, but the way he would, out of the stretch, he would bring the glove up. One of the guys in the dugout had noticed a tip, and he would whistle from the dugout. He had a high pitched whistle. He was telling the batter if it was going to be a curveball.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Part of the game. Then you know what? That guy better learn not to tip his pitches.
As a catcher, I feel like if you saw that was happening, you pulled your catcher aside and tell. I mean, that's the catcher's responsibility with the guy on second to mix it up.
Exactly.
I mean, that's also part of the game.
That's what I mean.
I learned that the hard way. I mean, I picked up, you know,
I mean, all you
catching
gotta do is,
when I was in,
is,
like,
is,
middle school,
I don't
high
think
school.
They limit visits in Little League. The catcher's got to go out and say it'll be the third sign.
Yeah, just mix
and
it
then
up.
By the time the guy on second could get it, understand that that's what it was, you'd be three or four pitches in the at-bat. I mean, even if you say the most simple way to do it, I'm putting down 1-2, 1-2, fastball, 1, because the third one was a 1. All right?
Right.
So now it's three pitches in the at-bat where the guy realizes, well, that could either be the first one or the third one. I don't know which one is the right one, so I can't. So the next time you'd go 2-1-1, and now if it's the first one, it's a 2. It's the third one, it's a 1. It's not that easy to steal. What's easier to steal is where the catcher's setting up. Okay, that's fine. But as I said, you can trick that too. That's part of the game. That's like getting mad at somebody for a fake. Wait a minute. He pretended he was going to shoot, and then he didn't shoot, and I jumped to block the shot, and then he went right around me. That's not right. That's not good sportsmanship. I believe when he put his hand behind the ball and brought it up, he was getting ready to shoot it. That's no good. I mean, that's what sign stealing is. I mean, please. Listen, nobody is more Joe sportsmanship than me. If anything, I'm very much.
That's a good point.
But now we've lost our minds. This guy to go out and just rip the snot out of them like somehow they were playing wrong and his team was playing right. Now, in his defense, maybe that's in the Little League rule book. I don't know. But evidently it is. It's something that's completely against. Little League is supposedly against it. But you wouldn't know it this week. Was the guy on second base supposed to stand deathly still? I mean,
I'm not sure.
crazy. Anyway.
Well, I wanted to play Let the Cake Bake, but we don't really have a
You've
ton of time.
Got 3 minutes. That's plenty of time. It's radio.
Well, because there's like sound bites and stuff.
So just play the sound bite.
No. I'll do the intro.
Here he goes again.
I don't think we should let the cake bake.
Bobby V is...
Gotta let the cake bake a little bit. Let them try to figure it out.
Letting the cake bake.
Play the lame sports radio. I'm gonna let the cake bake. How about that?
It's cake, motherfucker!
No idea what that means, but I think it's very amusing.
All right, so I actually had a clip from Locke, and I think you would agree with him. But the soundbite I wanted to play was from yesterday. Pat Forty in studio with Andy Sweeney. The take coming up here at 3 p.m. here on ESPN 680, 105.7. But Pat Forty's convinced that Rick's not going to coach again, and he's going to get a show cause. And he didn't really hold back.
If for some reason,
yep,
and I don't think it would happen, but if for some reason the NCAA came out with a notice of allegations in, say, December that says Rick Pitino is not being charged with anything, he's off the hook. That would help him. But I would anticipate whatever notice of allegations is coming smashes Pitino. And I think...
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
So do you think that's what Louisville's waiting for? Is that why... I don't know who's elongating the process here. Do you think Louisville thinks that as well?
I don't know. I just know that the way the NCAA is looking at head coach responsibility these days, that they're going to... You know, all of this, I didn't know what Jordan Fair was doing. I didn't know what Kenny Johnson was doing. That ain't going to fly.
No.
So he's going to get hit, I think, with absolute failure to monitor, failure to promote an atmosphere of compliance. And, you know, they're going to put a huge show cause on him to ever coach again, I think.
I'm just having you guess. Huge show cause. I mean, I would begin at 5 years.
5 years.
And work our way up from there.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess, has the cake baked on Rick making a comeback in the next couple years in college basketball?
I think there's never say never. There's always a guy who's an AD who considers himself a bit of a rebel and, you know, the NCAA is evil and I'll show these SOBs and, I'll fly in the face of whatever public criticism people are going to give me. I know that people will pay attention to my program now. I know we'll win games. If there's a show cause, I think it's the death knell. I mean, because you're going to have a hard time with that, and he's going to be 5 years. He'll be in his 70s. So, I mean, for him to wait for that to pass and then hire somebody still might hire him. I mean, I think Lefty Driesell coached into his 70s. He's a legendary figure, but I think that'll be a lot harder. But I think he was smart enough to read the writing on the wall, even though he thinks it was unfair, that college is going to be not likely on his landscape. So he was trying to figure out, position himself a way to get back to the NBA, where this stuff doesn't matter. So it's, you know, that's the thing that I find intriguing is, if he were willing to do Tyronn Lue is willing to go back after winning an NBA championship and be an assistant, I think somebody might, you know, tap into his expertise. There's no question he knows the game, but I don't know that he's got that wired in him. He hasn't been an assistant since he was UB Brown's assistant 50 years ago. Well, close to it, not quite. 40-some-odd years ago. I don't think that's in his DNA, so I don't know. We'll see. You got to cut that. Wow, you can hear the full at the end. It's cake mother full.
Oops.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Nikki Buster. See you tomorrow.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.